You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
8 minutes past four is the time. It is a Wednesday. It is time for us to have a chat to, hello, Odette Butcher. How are you?
Hello, hello. How are you?
You looking all summery?
Yes, with my knickerbockers and all that.
Well, I wasn't gonna bring that up.
You did rave me about them when I came in.
Yeah, but they're nice. I mean, they're not, you're showing a bit of calf there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, calf. I thought it was like not hot enough for like short shorts.
You're just not going to do that to us at some point, are you?
Yeah, well, we're on the radio. No one will notice.
Yeah, but I have to deal with that. Something's going to be unseen. You know?
Yeah, and it's bad. I was telling you about my mom bod.
Your mom bod.
Exactly.
I'm going to share a joke with you, which is not politically correct. Can
okay.
I do that?
Go for it. I'm strong. I live with five males in the house.
So this was sent to me now, and I think it's really quite funny.
Yeah.
Today I saw a dwarf climbing down a prison wall.
Mm.
I thought to myself, that's a little condescending.
Yes, we know who that came from.
Who did it come from?
I think Mike put it on his Facebook page today.
Did he?
Yeah.
No, this came from...
He's always wanted to have a... what do they call it? What's the appropriate way of referring to someone who's quite short as a friend? He's wanted to have like a wingman.
A wingman.
Yes, yeah. He would really like... to have a wingman friend like that.
Yeah, but there's a shortage of dwarfs.
Yes, there is. Are you trying to say that I'm a dwarf? Because Mike says that when he gets in the vehicle after I've been driving.
You're not a very tall person.
Yeah.
You're not a very tall person. Let that be said. And
another one of my obstacles to bear.
Yes. So you've got what they call you on the other side of the height divide,
yes,
as it were,
yes.
But we are talking about divides today.
Yes, we are. Yes. Actually, that's very punny of you. What a good play on words there.
Yeah, I do that a lot. I surprise myself sometimes.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Are you
that
surprised?
Just makes so much sense.
Does it?
It's a good lead into our conversation about these divides that we don't actually realize are there, and some of them are harrowing.
Are harrowing?
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm sure somebody's going to have a go at me for saying dwarf on the radio, because apparently not allowed to do that. The tall people get upset.
That is so funny.
All right. Talk to us about the digital divide, the digital deprivation, and
yes,
the whole thing, man.
So there is such a thing as digital inequality.
Oh.
Digital deprivation, and it has nothing to do with, originally when I heard the term, I thought to myself, gosh, you know, you just see people on their devices all the time.
Mm.
How could this even be an issue?
Yes.
But it really is an issue, and it's really huge, and I think that we need to talk about it and start raising awareness so that we don't get left behind,
okay,
like what exactly is happening.
Don't get caught short.
Yeah. That's so funny. Don't get caught?
Short.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the inspiration for today's discussion has come from a blog site called iberdrola.com. And it talks about, in just a few days, the coronavirus locked us up in the house, meaning we had to study, work, and look into each other's eyes through a camera. Access to the internet has enabled many of us to get on with our lives despite the pandemic, thanks to modalities such as remote working and online education. However, the reality isn't the same all over the world. In fact, the International Telecommunication Union, the specialized agency of the United Nations, warned at the end of 2021 that almost half the Earth's inhabitants, some 2.9 billion people, do not even have access to the internet.
As much as that?
Yes. And I believe so.
If you believe it, it must be true.
Yeah, I know. And I think it's interesting as we progress with this chat, how people will start realizing some challenges that they had in the home, like just dealing with children or students who were trying to hook up during the pandemic. So what exactly is a digital divide? Inequality in access to the internet and is known as the digital divide and affects 52% of women and 42% of men worldwide. Those are big stats. This gap becomes even wider when we talk about regions. According to data taken from the internet portal, in Africa, only 43.1% of its inhabitants had internet access compared to 88.4 Europeans and 93.4 Americans.
Wow.
So those are some big stats. The data shows a technology gap that separates some countries from others, despite the fact that 3G and 4G networks, while awaiting the massive expansion of 5G, are already reaching almost every corner of the planet. It's important to distinguish between access to the internet and digital literacy. That is, the learning process that enables a person to acquire the skills to understand and benefit from the educational, economic and social potential of new technologies. And these are some causes. The digital divide was initially attributed to underdevelopment and was perceived as something temporary that would disappear with the popularization of technology. Instead, the divide persists today despite the mass marketing of electronic devices with internet access. The causes can range from the high price of the above mentioned to the lack of knowledge about their use or the lack of infrastructure for their access. And I was thinking to myself, it's true. When you go into a cell phone shop, I mean, those phones are exorbitant.
They are.
You know, and then people are waiting for the latest Apple or the latest this, and you're looking at, what, 24K, 18K for a phone or like a new it's horrendous, a 30K for a laptop.
Yeah.
Who has that sort of money?
Not me.
Yeah. So these are some different types of digital divide, including access divide. It refers to the possibilities that people have access to this resource. This is where socioeconomic differences between people and between countries come into play. Since digitization requires very costly investments and infrastructure for less developed regions and for rural areas. So much for all things digital making our life more simple. Often it just complicates it. Use divide. It refers to the lack of digital skills, which impedes the handling of technology. To give an example, the ITU points out that there are 40 countries in which more than half of their inhabitants do not know how to attach a file to an email.
Wow.
That's how serious the literacy issue is.
And that is the most basic of things.
Yeah, and to think, I believe that email is on its way out, like the memorandum, because you're now doing all of this functionality in WhatsApp.
Yeah.
So if they can't do email, that means they can't use Messenger.
They're not going to attach anything to WhatsApp either. Mm.
Quality of use gap. Sometimes they have the digital skills to find their way around the internet, but not the knowledge to make good use of and get the most out of it. And I think that's true, which is why I did that chat on all the Google products. A lot of people know how to use Google, but actually, if you were taught how to use Google and the power in there, you could leverage so much more out of it, especially free information from the right places.
Google is like Excel.
Yes.
Or Photoshop.
Yes.
You're only ever going to, you know, you're using 10% of it. And if you are using 10% of it, you would be considered to be rather literate in those software packages. And anybody who is able to use 10 or 12 or 15% of what Google offers would be literate. But there is so much more.
So much more. It's a bit like when we talk about our brain, we're only using 20%. But actually, there's a full 80% there that's just waiting to be tapped into. We limit ourselves, don't we?
We do.
So these are some consequences. Technological discrimination is a form of poverty and social exclusion, depriving some citizens of essential resources for development and wealth generation. We have seen this a lot during the COVID pandemic, as many students and workers found it difficult to work from home and follow classes online. And that made me think to what was happening in our home. I was like, since when does every occupant in every house have their own laptop? And they were all expected to have their own laptop and then also to do exams. And there were issues with, you know, the load shedding, the Wi-Fi, the internet. And you're like, whatever happened to a paper and a pencil to do your exam?
Yeah. You see, the thing about that, too, is that this is where that divide comes in. That and you said it's a form of
discrimination.
It is, because when you look at the lesser fortunate folk around Africa, particularly, who don't have access to the laptop, who sometimes have access to only one laptop between 10 people.
Or one phone between a few people. Yeah.
Then all of a sudden that learning becomes a problem, and a thing like the pandemic even pushes them even further behind. You know, many would argue that that was by design. But it is vital that the investment in Africa, the investment in those people who are below that line, is that, possibly more even than some of the other things that, you know, sort of NGOs and things are.
Well, if you think we can't get water, electricity, and plumbing, and, you know, sanitation to some areas.
Yeah. How on that earth needs are we to be sorted laptops? First.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the reality.
I just feel like we're really getting left behind.
Yeah. It's not just us. It's
yes,
the
no,
whole
it's
of
not
Africa,
just SA.
Because that number that
South America, Asia, the Middle East.
Yeah. So these are big numbers. And the thing about it is that the technology is not going to wait for anybody.
No.
You know, by the time, I mean, you even find now, you switch to a new phone. You've had your old phone for 2 years. You are so far behind the game as far as what that phone can offer, that you have to play catch up already. And the technology is moving so fast for even those who have access to it.
Do you have time to upskill and play catch up? Seriously, in your day, little bit of time that you have to maybe breathe a bit of fresh air, do you really want to say, no, I'm going to use that time for upskilling instead? It's now more time in your day you have to find.
You're absolutely right. And the thing about it is, where does it end? Because you're going to have to, I can say to you, yes, I think it's vital that I do upskill myself, and I'm going to be all very disciplined about that. And, you know, I'm going to forego the fresh air, blah, 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 fish paste. And when I've just finished that and think, now it's time for my fresh air, you're into the next round of updates.
And my whole thing as well is, wasn't this all supposed to make our life easier?
Yeah. But then that's like lawyers saying that they save trees.
Exactly. So just in closing, these are the main effects of the digital divide: lack of communication and isolation. People in remote areas who do not have access to the internet are disconnected. Something similar happens to urban residents who are disconnected, which causes social isolation. Barriers to studies and knowledge. The coronavirus crisis has shown the effects of the digital divide in education. Teachers and students out of the loop because they lack sufficient technology and digital skills. It also increases lack of knowledge by limiting access to knowledge. It accentuates social differences. Digital literacy reduces the chances of finding a job and accessing quality employment, which has a negative impact on the workers' economy. And they've also included here gender discrimination. As we saw at the beginning, the digital divide negatively affects women more than men, which violates the principles of gender equality. And when I look within the digital space of jobs, you know, women are always identified with being like social media managers. But the whole industry is so vast. We're capable of doing a whole lot more than just
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And these are just some strategies that the UN is putting into place. Digital literacy programs. They instruct people in less favored areas of internet use by to improve their personal well-being. So these are some programs already in place. The Alliance for Affordable Internet. This project, led by an international coalition of governments, businesses, and civil society, aims to lower the cost of broadband in specific areas in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. I do find our connectivity charges just through the roof. It's horrendous how expensive it is. Free Basics. This initiative, promoted by Facebook and six other technology companies, aims to provide free access to a number of websites through a mobile application. And we've chatted already about some of the free products and courses available from Google, which all of us should be leveraging from. And then, of course, the Starlink project. This project, promoted by Elon Musk, is launching satellites into space to provide high-speed internet and global coverage at affordable prices. One wonders if there's some underlying conspiracies with all of that as well, but I'll just leave that there.
I'm gonna talk about that. First of all, I saw that thing, that Starlink thing.
Yeah.
And I thought, whoa, because it's I don't know if you've ever seen it go across the sky.
No, I've always been upskilling, you know, keeping up with my skills.
Upskilling, yeah. So you went outdoors. I was at the Springbok Rally, and we were sitting there, sort of around a fire, and it was dark, and it's
out. No way. Did you see one?
I saw this thing. It's, I don't know, it must be like 15 or 20, what looked like stars in a row moving quite rapidly across the sky.
So you actually saw it?
Yes. And I looked at this, and my son was with me, and you see, my son's a lot younger, obviously, and I said, whoa, UFOs, UFOs. He said, no, Dad, it's Starlink. I said, what is a Starlink? And then he explained to me what Elon Musk is doing. But so it's quite amazing that to see that thing for the first time. Now you said, oh, well, you see, I've upskilled. My son upskilled me. I know what Starlink is. But, yeah.
There's just so much in space right now.
Yeah, unbelievable. So the people that are involved in this are where I sometimes have a question mark. Because all of that you said was like the United Nations and the Facebook and the governments and this type of thing. I think that upskilling has to come from the private sector. It has to come because people are going to be skeptical of it. You know, the minute the government comes along and says, we're going to give you something free, you know that they're lying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But when somebody from a major NGO or a worldwide NGO or something like that, or a big company comes along, you're more inclined to accept that. And those are the guys who are going to benefit from this. So they should be the ones investing in it. Governments are not going to benefit from it.
Yeah, I know. I think it's just like what was happening during the pandemic, again, to refer back to it, is I feel personally each for his own. We're all out there pretty much on our own to navigate our way through life. And a conversation, not for today, but another time as a follow-up, might be to talk about what can I do about this? And for me, it's about keeping abreast of information, knowing where to get it, upskilling, keeping up to date, because I've read articles that it is actually going to become mandatory for all of us, if you want to stay up to date. It's something we need to be working at every month, every week, is just constantly staying up to date. And most importantly as well is how to guide and mentor our young adults and our children and teenagers for what lies ahead for them in terms of subject choice, future-proofing their employment, sort of career ideas. I agree with you about the government, the United Nations. Personally, it could be just another way to just create this huge divide between, like, you know, them and us. Mm. And there's this, the middle class is now gone.
Yeah.
You know, but we should take charge ourselves.
That's good and well.
Yeah.
If you have the means to do that.
Mm.
But the guy that is sitting up in Botswana in the rural area.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have access to that.
No.
So now it becomes, if the government starts to do things, not their government, another government or the United Nations or something like that, they're almost forced to become beholden.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Maybe I'm just being a little bit.
Well, it's all about trust, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is all about trust.
If somebody was doing it because of a purely educational motive.
Yes.
In other words, not a profit motive. If there was an organization, I don't know that they exist.
No, there are.
You know, I would even be a little concerned if it was Microsoft doing it.
Well, Google's doing it.
Yeah. And I would be concerned too if it was Google doing it.
Mm.
But if it was some other organization, if it was a big brand, if it was a big business, if it was a big NGO, if it was something like that, that was getting the infrastructure, because it starts with infrastructure.
You can
take, you know, the top of the range cell phone to that fellow in Botswana in a rural village. And, you know, but there's nowhere to connect it to. So, you know, you can go and give the guy the phone. You may as well give somebody a wetsuit in the desert. It's the same thing.
Exactly.
The infrastructure is not there, and that infrastructure needs to be put in place, and that's where Africa is falling short. The reason why the United States is so far ahead is because you go around any corner, there's a cell phone tower and there's a network and a choice of networks. I was a couple of years ago, I was in Holland, and the internet access in Holland is like, it's taken for granted. Whereas here, you're lucky in a lot of areas if you even can access the network. And there are things about internet that people do take for granted. I mean, I think about banking apps.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I phone my bank and I say, listen, I need to activate my new card you sent me. And the first thing they say to me is go to your app. Banking app. I said, but I don't have a banking app. What? No, you need to put the banking app on your phone. But what if I'm in a place where I can't put a banking app on my phone?
Mm.
How do I operate then? And even there, they don't know the answer to the question. So this divide that you talk about is real. Who's going to solve that problem? I don't know, but I'm damn sure I believe that it's not mustn't be the United Nations, because there I question the motive.
Mm. I think the key is awareness. The key is awareness is the first step, is just so that we are aware of digital deprivation and digital literacy and what it means, and take steps to educate ourselves, like we do with so many other things. And just be aware of it. And then you just start thinking, would I want to be part of this steamrolling effect? It depends where you want to go, how old you are, and where you want to go with your career. Or am I just going to stick with the life that I have? I'm happy where I am. Like, for example, does an electrician or a plumber or a bricklayer or some of the other trades, do they even need to worry about digital deprivation? Does it affect me, I think, is what I'm trying to say. Given my age and what I'm doing and what I want to do in the future, does this affect me and my life? And can I still generate an income without participating in this, or do I have to participate in this, and then what do I do from there?
I think at some level everybody has to participate.
Well, yeah, like banking things.
Yeah. What I haven't seen, and maybe it's just because I sort of live with my head up my own bum most of my life, I haven't seen the kind of infrastructure going into Africa and going into deprived areas that is funded by the Nokias, by the Samsungs, by the Huaweis, by the iPhone people, Apple. You know, these are the guys who benefit from the use of those phones in those areas. Dell computers, Lenovo computers. These are the companies that should be reinvesting in that infrastructure, and I don't see that happening. Instead, I'm seeing the United Nations, and I think to myself, not so sure I trust them.
Well, it's all about big business, isn't it? Well, so they're not going to invest in those areas because of the bottom line.
Well, the bottom line gets better over time, because now all of a sudden they've developed an area where there has never been the infrastructure.
Yeah.
And now people are starting to buy cell phones and they're buying laptops and they're getting jobs because of the access to the internet, and the standard of living is increasing, from which they do benefit.
Yes.
But I don't see that kind of thing. I don't even see the cell phone companies doing that.
Mm-mm.
I don't see, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, folks, WhatsApp me if you like.
Put your hand up.
Yeah. If you think I'm wrong. But I don't see too many sponsored by MTN, sponsored by Cell C, that is going into the development of infrastructure. I don't see that.
I just look how much it costs to buy a cell phone.
Yes. And there's a lot of margin in that.
Yeah.
And is that getting spent on making sure that the people who don't have, who are on the other side of that divide, are getting access? Because I think them having access is vital to the upliftment of the entire globe.
Exactly.
And if they're not doing that, then, you know, I have to question that.
And I wonder if digital literacy will be on par with numeracy and literacy in general. It seems as though it should actually be a subject at school even.
I would agree with you 100%. 100%. But it's an interesting conversation, one that we can go on
for a
long time. But I'd be interested to know if I am talking out my bum here. About these companies not being involved in sponsorship of infrastructure, investment into infrastructure for those that are in areas that don't have access. Now, Elon Musk, bless his heart, he does a lot of very strange things and says a lot of weird things, but he also does a lot of good things. And one of them was putting that Starlink up. But the motive there was not Africa, where the biggest divide is. The motive there was to make sure that those people that were in Russia who wanted to complain about the government could do it because, you know, the government turned the internet
off. I think
off.
He helped. Yeah, he did help with something big like that, didn't he?
Yes. So he put it up there for that real reason. But did he put it up there for Africa? I don't think so. Does Africa benefit? Well, I don't know. I hope so.
Mm.
I hope so. Very interesting stuff, as always.
Yeah, it is. I think we should have another conversation about how to future-proof ourselves and just, you know, just places to go and find information, especially guiding our young adults.
Mm. I would be more inclined to support a cell phone brand or company if I knew that part of what I'm spending on services was going towards development of some rural area where some child who is growing up without the internet gets an opportunity to grow up with the internet. I'd be more inclined to support that company.
It's not ringing any bells because usually people, when companies are doing amazing things,
usually they shout about it.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's not coming to the top of our mind. I can't.
Not
think
at
of,
all.
Yeah.
Not at all. Anyway, wonderful topic. And I think it could be explored even a little further down the line, maybe with specifics to a computer-based internet access and then cell phones, but a cell phone-based internet access, which although they do the same thing, are very different.
Yes, I think it would be more more mobile, actually.
Yeah. So it was nice to see you.
Yes. Thank you for having me again.
In your knickerbockers.
In my knickerbockers.
Yes. Okay, wedding ring? Just checking. Okay, cool. I'm just checking. I've been told to check.
That sounds very controlling. That is a concern.
No, I just want to make sure you know which divide you're on there.
The marriage divide. That's funny.
Love you lots, my child.
Thank
Come back
you.
In 2 weeks' time.
See you soon.
We'll miss you until then.
Okay.
Big time.
Just around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.